Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's go there.
With Shira and Ryan.
Entertainment.
Music. Pop culture.
LGBT plus news. Let's go there.
Starts now.
Hello. Hi. And happy Thursday. Guess what?
What?
It's Mean Girls Day. Do you know why?
You are so excited to talk about this, and I don't really understand. I get that Mean Girls is a huge phenomenon, and I love it. Trust me, it's a great, great film. It's one of my favorites. But you were, like, on another level, like, very excited to talk about it.
Because guess what date it is? Why it's Mean Girls Day? Because, do we have the clip? Play it.
Talking to Aaron more and more.
This is
on October 3rd, he asked me what day it was.
It's October 3rd.
Exactly.
Really? You built all that up for nothing?
Because in the movie,
what
she says
on?
It's October 3rd, and so now people do that.
Haven't we put you on like a corny like meter where you're not supposed to pass a certain amount of corniness?
Not
you
fair,
literally
because
have surpassed your corniness for the day. So no more being corny the rest of the show because, girl, trash.
Not fair because
no,
I'm
fair.
Not the only person that's sharing this. Like, a ton of people on social media are sharing this,
well,
too.
Well, duh, but that doesn't mean we necessarily have to bring it up for our show. The people that listen to our show are classy individuals that are way past,
you know what?
The Mean Girls face.
We all like some
even
balance in our life.
I will say we love Daniel Franzese. He's been on our show before. He's absolutely amazing. And he's starting such amazing kind of, like, movement for big guys, like fat guys on Instagram. He's so hot.
Also, Jonathan Bennett. Haven't we had him call in before?
No, he was on our last show.
Okay.
That we did. That's why
we'll try to get him on.
I would have bought him up. Just follow the lead sometimes. Follow the lead.
Well, I just had to bring that up. Just to keep the show a bit light because we are about to jump into some ridiculous and more serious political
stories. You know how we're going to keep the show light though for right now?
What?
In support of National Coming Out Day and the 1 year anniversary of Channel Q, you and a friend are going to be flown out to the home of Channel Q, Los Angeles, California, for a weekend getaway. Now, honey, you got 3 more days to get into this contest. We're going to take you out in West Hollywood for basically a happy hour at the world famous Abbey. We're going to put you up in an amazing hotel and give you 2 tickets to LA's biggest and sold out event of the year. It's the We Can't Survive concert at the Hollywood Bowl. You know, Taylor Swift is going to be there. Oh my God, I'm gonna die. Taylor Swift. See, saying Taylor Swift's name is like a hex. It's literally a curse. You know, Taylor Swift's gonna be there, Lizzo, the Jonas Brothers, Camila Cabello, and so much more. I wonder if I'm going to meet her and I'm gonna have to like man up to everything that negative I've said about her.
I don't even think you'd have time to. You'd just be like, hi, bye.
No, I would. I would be like, hello, bye. That's
and
all.
Then you'd probably say how big of a fan you are right now. She's so sweet. Oh, my God. I
would
take a picture with
her. Hell no. I'm the type of person that's going to keep it the same energy.
Okay.
I'm not going to say nothing. I'm just going to look at you
famous
from the
last
side.
Words.
But basically, guys, celebrate Channel Q's coming out and National Coming Out Day in L.A. Go to wearechannelq.com to enter to win. And for more details, like I said, you have 3 days left until this contest is over. So head over to wearechannelq.com.
All right, let's get into some wacky what's trending in the news right now, top of the hour. This is probably one of the funniest things this election cycle. These 2 guys who are basically trolls, they should be arrested for being trolls and a waste of time. But what they did is in the news right now, so we're going to talk about it. Jacob Wall and Jack Berkman, they actually made history, or they do make history for making these baseless allegations. I don't know if you remember them, Ryan. They made these sexual assault allegations against Pete Buttigieg a few months back. Well, they had a press conference.
Yeah, of course
today.
We know. They are crooked. They are the worst people.
Uh-huh.
And before Pete Buttigieg, they were
they're attention seekers,
involved.
Attention whores. Okay.
Yeah, they're the worst.
Well, they held a press conference today alongside a 24-year-old former Marine who alleged that he had a long-term sexual relationship with presidential candidate Elizabeth Warren. Here is some of that ridiculousness.
She was very sexually adventurous. And Senator Warren engaged in lesbian sex with my friend from high school using a lime green strap-on dildo.
Okay, we end it there. As you can see, there was all those reporters there and just cracking up.
Were the reporters the one laughing at this stupid stuff? Like, because what is...
Pretty much,
I don't know
why
anyone attends a press conference that he sends out a press release for. Like,
because I know he's just... Yeah, it's basically a performance art at this point. Is it like comedy for him?
It's not a performance art. For them? That is the worst thing. That just offended everyone that actually takes performance art very seriously.
Well, it feels like they're doing like performance art for the right, like extremist right performance art. Anyway, it's very weird. So that's what happened today. But other news, other crazy news coming from Trump. He's now calling on Russia to start an investigation into the Bidens. He spoke to reporters today. He said that China should start those investigations into Joe Biden and his son, Hunter Biden. And the remarks, of course, come amid this whole impeachment inquiry into Trump's earlier request for Ukraine to investigate the Bidens. This is what he had to say. China should start that investigation into the Bidens because what happened in China is just about as bad as what happened with Ukraine. So I would say that President Zelensky, if it were me, I would recommend that they start an investigation. So he's basically dragging everyone into this, which already that's fascinating to me because there are those tensions between the U.S. and China. So is he trying to get them to be like friendly with him right now? I don't know why he would drag China into this. Why does anyone want to be dragged into this?
I think we're all missing the point here. He literally just admitted to everyone's faces for a third time because he did it in the transcript. He also did it on air on like a couple weeks ago on Monday. And he did it again on the South Lawn of the White House saying, hey, I want a foreign country to investigate someone in our country that is in our government forces. That is an illegal thing. That basically, screw everything else, he literally needs to be impeached at this point because he just continues to admit the wrongdoing that he's doing. He's admitting illegal things.
Yeah, he goes, asked if he had requested that the president of China help with an investigation. This is what he had to say. I haven't. But it's certainly something we can start thinking about because I'm sure that the president does not like being under that kind of scrutiny where billions of dollars is taken out of his country by a guy that just got kicked out of the Navy. He got kicked out of the Navy. All of a sudden, he's getting billions of dollars. You know what they call that? They call that a payoff. So he's trying to really get himself intertwined in all of this and get every other country intertwined. And it just seems like everyone's going to, at a certain point, say, get away from us. We don't even want to be attached to the U.S. or Trump at this point. But coming into the Biden story, he's now responding to Donald Trump, his message to Trump right after this on What's Trending in the News.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Okay, so Joe Biden is finally speaking out. It's been like 10 days. It feels like a week or 2 weeks, all month.
I mean, it feels like 70
feels
years.
Like forever. This whole Trump, Ukraine controversy, and Joe Biden is in the middle of it all, him and his son. And yet we haven't really heard from Joe Biden. So it was nice to hear from him when he was in Nevada yesterday during a campaign speech. And he just talked about how Trump was really afraid of how badly he was going to beat him in 2020, which is something we've talked about, like why he'd be lashing out in this way. It's either that there's something true about all these claims, or it's just that he's targeting the person that he's afraid is going to beat him.
It's both. Why would it not be both? I think...
Both.
Obviously, he did something wrong, and because he's admitted to it way too many times at this point. And then Joe Biden, I also feel like, yeah, I'm happy that he actually said something, but even his response really wasn't as fiery as I feel like it could have been.
Okay.
Here's what he had to say.
Like every bully in history, he's afraid. He's afraid of just how badly he may be beaten. I'm not going anywhere. You are not going to destroy me, and you're not going to destroy my family. I don't care how much money you spend, Mr. President, or how dirty the attacks get. Trump knows there are no truth in the charges against me. None. Zero.
Okay, so that was Joe Biden's response to this whole Trump-Ukraine claims, including his son, Hunter, that's accusing basically him of when he was then vice president. Basically, Trump is saying that Joe Biden pressured the Ukrainian government to fire the country's prosecutor general.
Right, right.
But there's no evidence of that wrongdoing, although Trump tries to, like, he even posted a picture of them together. All together yesterday.
Yeah, that's here's the thing that's been coming out. Obviously, this does not look good for Joe Biden in any form yeah. of any case. I do think this is going to, I'm interested to see if this is going to impact his campaign because one, Joe Biden, yes, he has been a front runner since before he even announced that he was going to be running for president. People have been like, oh, he is the one to beat and he's the one to be kind of on the lookout for. But I also think that he's also had a lot of flub ups. He's also been kind of lackluster in a lot of his responses to other things besides this. And I think this is something that no other presidential candidate would want to be involved in on any front. And his response there, it was, I guess, yeah, he was attacking it, but I also don't think it was as strong enough. I feel like I'm kind of going back to what Ken has said from KNX when we've had him on, where he feels like, you know, Democrats aren't willing to kind of fight dirty in some ways. Like, they're not willing to fight in the way or strong enough to fight in a way that they need to kind of take on such a monster like Donald Trump.
Yeah, but he's also said that if you're connected, if Trump is calling you out, he has said it's almost a good thing. Like, in this case, I wouldn't say all press is good press, but that it means like you're a real contender to beat him.
I mean, yeah, I think Trump has acknowledged that. I think, well, not acknowledged it, but of course, because he's a narcissist. But I think
yeah, he's never going to acknowledge
in his actions. I think in his actions, in the way he's going about everything, it has shown that of course he's afraid of Biden, and he also should be afraid of Warren because Warren is pulling
yeah,
right
Warren
around.
Yeah, Warren is the quiet.
And
I feel like the quiet
the way
front
that she
runner.
Needs to. And it's been interesting to kind of to see all of this play out. But I mean, I don't know.
I feel like Warren has no dirt. Have you heard any dirt on Warren?
I mean, besides the ones that where she used to be a Republican and then she...
Well,
yeah,
no,
like,
the Pocahontas comments.
And the, yeah, that.
Those are the two, but... And the one that Jacob Wall, those guys tried to drag her today, which is
Jacob
ridiculous.
Jacob Wall shouldn't even be brought up into the conversation.
But just, by the way, for people wondering, like, Biden also did kind of lay out what actually happened. Like, he's trying to clear the air so he could just move on.
Which also, you got to be careful of that, because if you keep talking, people are going to be like, why are you still defending yourself? Because now it just seems like you're trying to cover up some stuff
yeah.
that you don't want to bring to be brought out.
But at the same time, I feel like this is his story. He's going to stick to it. He said, we weren't pressing Ukraine, because he basically, just to go back, he said he tried to carry out the official policy of the U.S. government to root out corruption. He wasn't trying to get rid of this prosecutor to help his son. He says we were pressing them to replace a weak prosecutor who wouldn't do his job with someone who at the time we hoped would finally crack down on corruption. And so I don't know. I don't think he's going to bring it up again. I feel like he's done with this. If he's smart, he's just going to move on because he needs to focus on other things at this point if he's going to continue making his way to the top. And so that's a little update on the whole Joe Biden versus Trump versus Ukraine. Maybe China is implicated now into it. Who knows? And Nickelback, but not anymore. Nickelback actually took down that video that...
you really wanted to bring up Nickelback.
I did.
Everyone knows about it.
I wanted to bring up Nickelback.
Either way, we got time. We don't got time for it.
We are moving on to top stories in pop culture and entertainment news. What's the tea?
Coming up in 7 minutes, Demi Lovato is apologizing after being under fire for a trip that she took to Israel. But my question is, are people making a bigger deal out of nothing? We're spilling the tea up next.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
So National Coming Out Day is happening October 11th, and it's also the one-year anniversary of Channel Q. So in honor of our beautiful listeners, we are going to be flying you and a friend out to the home of Channel Q, Los Angeles, California, right here for a weekend getaway. And even if you are, you know, you stay around the town, we're going to provide a staycation for you. We're going to take you out in West Hollywood for happy hour at the world famous Abbey. Then we're going to put you up in an amazing hotel, honey. Then give you two tickets to LA's biggest event of the year. It's a We Can Survive concert at the Hollywood Bowl. Come celebrate Channel Q's coming out and National Coming Out Day in Los Angeles. Head over to wearechannelq.com to enter to win. You have 3 days left before this contest is over. I'm telling you, you do not want to miss it.
Yas.
Now let's get into What's the Tea, our entertainment pop culture stories of the day. And honestly, this story is so annoying to me. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things where it's starting to feel like certain celebrities can't do anything without automatically getting backlash. And I am a person that loves to kind of hold people accountable, but this situation involving Demi Lovato is not one of those, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I have some thoughts about this because it's complicated.
So here we go. Earlier this week, Demi Lovato took to Instagram to share some photos from her absolutely magical trip to Israel. Now, she used those that words, quote unquote, unquote, kind of situation. But I guess, you know, she was talking about how this trip was such an like a spiritual experience for her. And a lot of people automatically felt like, oh, no, this is not OK. Critics started to really come at her because they felt that she was taking a political stance amid the country's ongoing conflict with Palestine. And as backlash rolled in, she turned the comments off of her Instagram and issued a whole explanation. Now, during this trip to Israel, she actually ended up getting baptized, which is a beautiful situation. She really kind of had her own kind of spiritual journey. As to be honest, I feel like a lot of people do go to Israel to do that.
It's not just a Jewish and Palestinian thing. People just go to Israel to experience it and see it. And unfortunately, though, it's such a layered and complicated situation politically there that even when I went there and posted a video, people were like, oh, and obviously I'm Jewish, so there's a lot of implicated in that. But people were saying free Palestine, like how dare you support Israel and
so
all that.
Here's what she said in a very lengthy statement on her Instagram story. She said, I'm extremely frustrated. I accepted a free trip to Israel in exchange for a few posts. No one told me there would be anything wrong with going or that I could be possibly offending anyone. With that being said, I'm sorry if I've hurt or offended anyone. That was not my intention. Sometimes people present me with opportunities and no one tells you the potential backlash you could face. This was meant to be a spiritual experience for me, not a political statement. And now I realize that it hurt people. And for that, I'm sorry. Sorry I'm not more educated. And sorry for thinking this trip was just a spiritual experience. Now, I guess with her kind of going against all advice, she ended up kind of speaking out, releasing this statement and clearing the air. She said, I'd rather get in trouble for being authentic to myself than staying quiet to please other people. She said, I love my fans, all of them from all over. Now, look, I'm a little annoyed by this because if she's specifically, even the photos and the videos that she's taken and she's posted, she's talked about this spiritual awakening. She's talked about this whole spiritual vibe that she's feeling and how this was a moment for her. And you know, Demi has gone through a lot of mental health issues, even speaking, Yeah, for addictions that she's going through. So if she wants to take a trip to kind of help her mental health and it's free, why is everyone feeling like everyone has to kind of be in this political stance? And I get it. You do feel like people should be held accountable to, you know, use their platform to speak up against things. But this was clearly not a negative situation, and people made it.
Well, yeah, the problem is if you go to Israel, people say inherently you're supporting Israel, which means you're not supporting Palestine or Palestinians. And the fight for the territory, and he gets like,
what if she would have went all over? What if she would have done a round trip type of situation?
Well,
she
went
to Israel and then went to Palestine. What if she would have went to all these places?
I mean, Israel. And the problem is that Palestinians think like it's this thing of like, oh, that they've been taken over. So, I mean, Israel's an amazing place. I don't know why you can't go to Israel and just experience it versus take a stand, like. You have to take a stand. But people think if you just visit, you are taking a stand. And that's why it's getting so extreme and so ridiculous, because people shouldn't just drag people just because they're enjoying a place, even when there's conflict happening.
Well, here's the thing. I agree with that, because also, you know, during this trip, she, you know, visited the World Holocaust Remembrance Center. And like I said, she was baptized in the Jordan River. She put on her Instagram saying, when I was offered an amazing opportunity to visit the places I've read about in the Bible growing up, I said, yes, I've never felt such a sense of spirituality or connection.
Yeah.
To God, something I've been missing for a few years now. This trip has been so important for my well-being, my heart, and my soul. I'm grateful to the memories made and the opportunity to be able to fill the God-sized hole in my heart. Thank you for having me, Israel. Now, what in the world, after seeing a post like this, would have people up in arms about some political BS?
It's because
it's traumatizing for a lot of people, and I understand that, but don't drag Demi in it if she's literally telling you this is the reason reason why she needed to go.
I know. It's just, it's so complicated. Like, we're not going to get into a history lesson right now, and I probably wouldn't be willing to give us a history lesson.
It doesn't need to be a history lesson.
The problem is people, yeah, because, and it's the same reason why Ilhan Omar, you know, they weren't allowed in Israel. So you're talking about a place that has a lot of divisiveness and conflict right now. And people think if you are going, it can't just be to enjoy something. You are literally supporting what's going on there. So that's the unfortunate situation. She should have known that in the end.
She should have known that.
Like, it's pretty obvious, and her team should know, but it doesn't mean you should not go there just because she would have faced backlash no matter what, whatever she said.
No, but I also don't think she had to.
She could have been saying, I'm eating falafel in Israel, and people would have said, F you.
What if she's been in like rehab or a mental like health kind of facilitation?
Yeah, they would have said, you're like, I know, it's ridiculous. It is ridiculous. It's something that a lot of people go through, unfortunately, when they post around Israel.
Well, we got some more coming up, some more other updates from some tea that I spilled earlier this week. Find out what Lisa Vanderpump, honey, I had to say about Sarah Paulson's remark. Remember that I told you, you know, Sarah spilled the tea saying that she did not like her interaction with Lisa. And the latest on Stacey Dash, Republicans' favorite black woman. That's coming up next.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Okay, so we're back with our entertainment pop culture stories of the day, and we are wrapping up with some updates from some stories that I told you guys earlier this week. You know, I like to bring the juice back when it's here and ready to be sipped. So take seconds. We love seconds here at What's the Tea. So basically, you know how I was telling you about Sarah Paulson, and she did this fun little game with Vanity Fair, where she was hooked up to a lie detector test, and she was asked about her obsession about the Real Housewives. Do we have that clip? We probably not. She was asked about her obsession about the Real Housewives, and they asked her, like, who would she miss, and would she ever join, and they somehow was kind of bought up about, like, how, you know, if she would miss Lisa Vanderpump, because as we know, Lisa is no longer going to be a part of Beverly Hills Housewives. Here's what Sarah said.
Lisa Vanderpump.
You know, I don't want her coming after me on Twitter, but I won't miss her. I'll miss the dynamic she brings to the group, which is, you know, the fear of God she instills in everyone, but no, I won't miss her. I met her once at a party. She wasn't that nice to me.
Ooh.
So that's what Sarah said. Well, you know, Lisa, she's always tuned in to the pop culture realm, and she actually saw the comments on Twitter, and the former housewife had to say this. She took a very viral Mariah Carey moment and responded saying, I'm sorry, I'm not sure I know her, and I don't believe or remember meeting her. So that's a little shady. And she added, I try to be nice to everybody, LOL. And let's be real, everyone knows who Sarah Paulson is. She is a huge actress.
She's huge.
And the fact that you've probably seen her on Watch What Happens Live with Andy.
Award-winning. Like, isn't she like Emmy nominated?
She's most definitely, Lisa was being a shady little boots. Well, moving on, Stacey Dash, she actually, you know, we found out Stacey Dash from Clueless. She was arrested for attacking her husband, and basically there was actually a whole mishap with this whole entire situation. So she was arrested. She called 911. She ended up getting arrested because her husband had scratches. They had gotten into an altercation. Well, when they arrested her, you know how when they take your mugshots and everything. Well, apparently the police department had to put out a statement because they had mislabeled her race ethnicity. They had said she was a white woman.
Oh my God.
and the police officer was like, well, we initially thought she was Hispanic, but then we just put white. And honey, Stacey Dash, no matter how much she doesn't want to admit it, she is a full-fledged black woman. Now she had to plead guilty to attacking her husband. Her formal plea demanded for a jury trial were made by a public defender after the 52-year-old actress separately filed to be found indigenous. Is that the word? Meaning she's too broke to afford her own lawyer.
Oh,
so
that's sad.
Yeah, she doesn't have any money.
Well, you know, all of us. I mean, the rent is too damn high.
No, that's not it. She's burned every bridge that she's ever had, and that's the reason why she's poor.
I was going to say, the one reason why she would want
it. And she deserves it. We don't deserve to be compared to her.
Oh, God. I was going to make a joke about her being called white, being like, oh, she might maybe would have wanted to because maybe she would have been treated better in this situation. Yikes.
Oh, wow.
Shots are fired.
Sure, I don't know. You should let me say that.
I know.
You should have let
I'm
me
just
say
getting
that.
So used to
well,
yeah,
anyway,
what you'd say.
The you know, there's more information about Stacey Dash on our website at wearechannelq.com. Make sure to keep spilling the tea and hitting us up, like I said, at wearechannelq, and make sure to keep us favorited on that radio.com.
I'm hanging around you too much, Ryan.
No, you shouldn't. You need to control yourself.
Yeah. We'll tell you why this guy is suing Apple and it's completely ridiculous coming up right after this.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Okay, we are doing a lot on National Coming Out Day because it's 1 year anniversary of Channel Q.
Yes, so basically we are celebrating with you guys because one, it's very important. We want to make sure that you guys feel like loved. And guess what? We're going to be flying you and a friend out to the home of Channel Q right here in Los Angeles, California. We're going to take you out in West Hollywood for happy hour at the world famous Abbey. Then we're going to put you up in an amazing hotel and give you 2 tickets to LA's biggest event of the year, the We Can't Survive concert. Your faves from Lizzo, the Jonas Brothers, to Billie Eilish are all going to be there, and so many more celebs. Come celebrate Channel Q's coming out and National Coming Out Day in LA. Go to wearechannelq.com to enter to win. You have 3 more days before the concert is over. Wearechannelq.com.
The contest. The concert hasn't happened yet.
What did I say?
No, I'm saying you said until the concert is over. But maybe I heard, I don't know, I'm so far away from you. Maybe I'm not hearing you properly.
I might have said that. I don't know.
I'm just making sure. Anyway.
No, you were trying to drag.
I'm so dragging.
It didn't win because you could never embarrass me. Boom.
That's because you have the bell. All right, let's get into what's trending in the news right now, top of the hour.
You be speaking like a wrestler sometimes. Like, you're very WWE, and I
God,
don't want you to
be that.
God,
that'd be amazing. I'd make a lot of money.
No, you remember you almost broke your back the last time you tried to be a wrestler?
That was funny. I should get that clip and post it on TikTok. Thanks for the reminder. Okay, let's get into the news right now. Russian iPhone user is doing a lawsuit against tech giant Apple. He alleges the company's products... listen to this. This is the most ridiculous claims. It drove him to homosexuality. The plaintiff, who is identified as D. Razumilov, he claims he became mired in same-sex relationships after someone gave him 69 gay coins using an iPhone cryptocurrency app. This is obviously ridiculous, and Apple has not responded because...
This makes me gay, too. I see.
He said ever since his iPhone...
The fact that we're reading the story makes me feel very homosexual.
Ever since his iPhone made him gay, he says he claims his life has changed for the worse and will never be normal again. He said, I can say after the passage of 2 months that I'm mired in intimacy with a member of my own sex and can't get out. I have a steady boyfriend, and I don't know how to explain it to my parents. And this is actually... I'm laughing, but it's kind of sad.
I feel that same, you know what? I feel the same way when I think about the idea, the fact that I like men and how trash sometimes that can be is just honestly.
Well, I feel that way about men too sometimes.
We should both sue Apple for this because, you like men for a whole other reason. I like men.
But they bother me.
Because unfortunately, yes, this app of mine, you know, the Grinders and the crypto apps and all these things, they have made me gay. I agree with this young man.
He says they've caused him, the iPhone.
Traumatic experience.
Moral suffering and harm to his mental health. And he blames Apple for manipulatively pushing him towards homosexuality. I mean... You can't make this stuff up.
It's so stupid. It's honestly the craziest thing. And honestly, doesn't Russia have a lot more to worry about than this?
Yes.
Like, they're trying to ruin our next election. They're trying to get Trump, you know, probably, you know.
Although, re-elected. Supposedly, Vladimir Putin is now he agrees with climate change. He says it's happening, supposedly. So maybe they're taking a turn. Who knows?
I doubt it.
Let's move on to Hillary Clinton, who compared the decision to stay with Bill Clinton after she found out he was having an affair to learning your child is transgender.
Oh, yeah. So this happened on The View. There was a whole moment. And mm-hmm. It was, honestly, I didn't even catch it when it happened because, you know, I watch The View all the time.
Yep.
But, yeah, she did do that after I re-listened to the clip, and I was like, yikes.
Yeah, because they were reacting to her talking about her gutsiest decision she made was to stay with her husband. She did that on GMA, but this is how she expanded on that comment.
Sometimes when your child has an issue, I had a friend a few years ago called up and said, I don't know who to talk to about this, but my little girl wants to be a boy. Mm-hmm. What do I do? And you know, several of us kind of, we didn't know what to do. We'd never had a friend who'd faced that before. And several of us kind of read everything, talked to people, and gave her advice. And it was really gutsy for her to say, okay, I'm going to respect the feelings of my child, as hard as it is for me to understand this. So
to be clear, she was making the connection between bravery and making personal decisions. And then that's when she brought up the how her friend has a transgender son. I just think it's like interesting how that popped up in her head.
No, I mean, it's most definitely a very odd comparison. But like you said, yeah, it's like the idea of like supporting your family no matter what. And that's like a super gutsy thing. And so, yeah, maybe sometimes, you know, you cishets, maybe you guys shouldn't compare, you know,
any of our experiences to someone like an experience relating to anyone in the LGBTQ
plus community. Yeah, yeah. Just stay on the side of your cishetery.
That's a word to add to the dictionary, cishetery. That's amazing. But it kind of reminds me, it's like, I don't know why she did that. I've even had this issue. We've talked about this because I tend to say, if I'm talking about my experience, I go, well, it reminds me of blah, 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 maybe, or how you might go through something. And I've had to even steer clear of that to say, you know, I can
maybe
only speak for myself.
Maybe it's a white people thing where y'all think y'all can talk for everybody.
I think it's more you want to be accessible and like see every, like if you're in a mode where you're like, I'm progressive and I have compassion, you start referencing other people's experiences, trying to connect them to show you have empathy, even though it is a different thing.
It's a terrible way to do that. Yeah. That is a terrible way. That's a way to shoot yourself in the foot.
I think she had good intentions, but it's something to think about.
Yeah, it is something. It's just, it's not enough to get you dragged, but it is enough to say, watch out.
Yeah, too bad you weren't on the show to tell her that. What would you how would you react if Hillary Clinton was on the show and mentioned this transgender situation?
To be honest, I probably would have just, because it's Hillary Clinton, I probably wouldn't have said anything because I really actually do like Hillary Clinton a lot. But I think, I do think maybe I probably, you know, to be honest, I know who I am. I would have probably said, well, I don't think you should, you know, anytime, I don't think anyone should relate a hetero, you know, situation to anyone that, of an experience of a trans person or of a trans, you know, anything or LGBTQ person in general. So you just got to be careful with that, sis.
Well, that is somewhat trending in the news, top of the hour right here on Let's Go There. Coming up, the reason why this person's ex deleted her from his social media isn't the reason you would expect, coming up right after this.
Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
So when you bring up social media as it relates to relationships, specifically when you break up, the big question is, should you delete your ex from all your pictures and your profile?
I would say yes. Honestly, the story that we're about to say, I see no problems with.
Okay, well...
And I have a reason why.
Okay. Well, it's interesting because I feel like, thank God, social media wasn't around when I was like in high school or even college, because I don't have a lot of the history on my socials of my exes, only more recently. It's hard to know what I would do. But this story we're about to talk about is pretty ridiculous. Hannah Smothers joins us, who's a senior staff writer at Vice, and she got into how her ex dealt with her on his social media. And the reason that he took her off his Instagram is pretty wild. Welcome to the show, Hannah.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on.
So I guess let's get into this. Your ex.
What happened?
Yeah, what happened?
What happened?
Yeah, break it down for us. Tell us the story.
Okay, so this guy and I dated, I think, in like 2017 for a few months. We broke up and he moved to LA pretty immediately. It was very not dramatic, very amicable. We're still friends to this day. But a few months ago, I noticed that he had deleted a lot of posts off his Instagram, and none of the ones that he kept involved our relationship at all. Mm. Like, other exes were still there.
So it was just selectively nothing. You.
It seemed to be selectively me.
I
ended up getting answers. Yeah, it was, I got some answers from him later, but at first, it was a little shocking.
Okay, so you realize this as a human. You are also a writer, but you realize as a person, you're like, okay, this happened. So what do you do? And then at what point do you decide to bring it to your work to write an entire article about it?
So I tweeted about it when I noticed it. And one of my bosses linked it to my own tweet to me and was like, you should write about this. This is insane. And then I started talking to more people about it and realized I wasn't the only person this had happened to.
So I have to admit that I would possibly be your boyfriend because I did not put any of my, and I'm a firm believer of not putting any of my past relationships on social media. And I actually removed, when I was dating my last ex, I removed photos of, like, with him off of my Instagram because, one, I was, you know, I was changing up the look of my Instagram. But then also I just felt like I don't want people to be all in my business, you know?
Yeah, no, I totally, like, I get deleting people from your page if you don't want to look at these pictures anymore, if you don't want to be so public about your private relationships. That makes sense to me. And I even understand where he was coming from because he has a, he works in film. He's got a pretty visual job.
So wait, what was his actual response? Like, when you asked him, okay, so break this down to me. What did he say to you? Like, was his reason?
So he laughed at me and he was like, I knew you were going to ask me about this eventually. And he said that he's just been trying to remove a lot of his more personal posts and he wanted his page to look cohesive. Like, he wanted it to have a certain look to it.
And that's what we were laughing at. And I think a lot of people that, you know, whether you are in this age group there, you think about this and deal with this, or I think people of another generation, they look back and they're like, you all are ridiculous in terms of how you organize your lives around these platforms and these apps and how you want it to have this look and feel. And literally, you will do certain things in your personal life that are so, like, the line between what you're posting and how you're living, one, it's either it's completely different or it's so intertwined in a weird way that it's like you care too much about this thing that doesn't even matter.
Yeah,
like, it didn't, you basically, and this, you talk about this in the article, how you didn't match his new aesthetic, which, can you explain that for people who don't get the Instagram aesthetic?
Sure. So his posts now all, I mean, everybody's is going to be different.
You can say his Instagram is ugly without you. You can say it.
I think it's very nice looking, but it is very, it, everything looks like it could be a still from a music video. Like, it's very produced.
Yeah, it's not and realistic.
So, no, it's a, like, weird iPhone pictures that he had taken of us or of me looked weird, I guess, in line with the rest of those posts. Yeah. That's what he told me, and I can see how that's true.
Well, did you, okay, because I do know that a lot of times social media can be used as a portfolio in some ways, especially when you're linking to a lot of jobs actually say, hey, link to your Instagram, link to some people want to see, especially in entertainment fields. Did it at all kind of, like, did you ever think about that, or did you automatically kind of go to, well, do I not mean as much to him? Is this kind of the end of our relationship? How did you kind of, like, think about it in the middle of that?
Yeah, I wish he had given me a heads up just because some of the pictures I like to look at, like the ones of us, were still nice to me to, you know, go back and look at them by the time. Totally. But he said he treats his page as sort of a business card. Like, this is what people are going to see of his work. It just didn't used to be that way. Like, when we dated, it was sort of just a slice of life.
Yeah, I was going to, just as we wrap it up, our social media and how we're living our lives and using these platforms and apps, is it becoming, like, almost, like, not human in a way? And are we, like, are we just disconnecting from ourselves and we're all just becoming businesses? And what's, I guess, that's
what's
pretty scary.
That?
No, but that, what are the repercussions of that?
Yeah, I told him, I was like, I sort of like to see, even with somebody I'm going to work with professionally, more of a personal page so you can get a sense of who somebody actually is as a person. I would prefer that to the more curated grid, but, you know, it's his own page. He can do what he wants.
All right, well, best of luck. I hope you're dating now and you find someone that's much better.
And hopefully this wasn't triggering you on National Boyfriend Day, because it is
sorry.
So we love you. Good. We love you very much.
Thank you guys so much.
All right, have a good night. Hannah Smothers, again, is the senior staff writer at Vice. You can check out her work at vice.com.
Now, coming up, we are diving into a topic that has been plaguing everywhere on the internet, how religion shouldn't stop you from holding someone accountable for your actions and forgiveness. We'll be diving in with Jared Hill from Jared and Allie. Drop the Subject up next.
Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
So, obviously, we all know, and we've probably seen that viral clip that has come out of the Dallas police officer case and Amber Geiger, who was sentenced to 10 years in prison on Wednesday by a Texas jury that found her guilty of murdering and walking to a neighbor's apartment, and she murdered him. And obviously, there was a clip where the brother of the guy that was murdered, he basically was saying, I forgive you. And it's brought up this very interesting conversation of kind of how religion and forgiveness kind of play a part, and also how people of color are often automatically looked at as they should be taking the higher road and automatically forgiving. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to kind of have this discussion about should race be involved in this conversation of forgiveness? Is it forgiveness just an everybody thing where everyone should be forgiving, or is it oftentimes where, you know, people of color do have to kind of take that higher road? And joining us for this conversation is Jarrett Hill from Jarrett and Allie Drop the Subject. Welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Of course. So it was interesting. Obviously, we're going to be talking about that clip a little bit later on because we want to know you guys' thoughts about kind of, you know, are there things that people shouldn't be forgiven for? And I think that's a very interesting question. But to kind of go into that a little bit later in the show, I felt like this was an awesome moment to talk about the idea about, you know, kind of people of color often having to take the high road. And the first thing that pops up in my mind is Michelle Obama, you know, where she says, when they go high, when they go low, you go high.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't even connect that to racing, obviously, because I'm watching it from as a white person.
Yeah.
I looked at it as like, wow, what a powerful thing to say. So it's interesting. Like, I find this conversation really fascinating to me because in watching this clip, I was like, wow, that's so powerful. I just looked at it as like the idea of the extreme strength, power, and compassion someone could have when they drop that, drop any sort of anger when something like that happens. Yeah. But then as we watched it together, Ryan was like, well, this is also a religious thing, and also now bringing up the race thing, which I guess I didn't think about because of who I am and watching it.
And I think even for me, I understood completely, like you said, I understood completely about the religion thing because I grew up very Pentecostal Christian. I mean, literally, it felt like, and if I look back into like my years of growing up in the church, it felt like anything could happen to you. But at the end of the day, you as a Christian and you as knowing, you know, the Lord or God or mm-hmm. whatever you believe in, you're supposed to take that higher road and forgive that person and not want to wish any harm on them or anything. But I think as I've grown up and kind of figured out my own kind of life and also where I fit into this world and society as a person of color and a queer person of color, it is very interesting kind of about that narrative that we're always seeing, you know, the moments where, you know, which I found super inappropriate, where, you know, the judge was like hugging, you know, Amber, and everyone's feeling like you have to console in some way.
This story is so multi-layered for me because there's gender, there's race, there's like the region that's happening in the South, there's, you know, it being in 2019 in the context of Donald Trump and the where we are in the zeitgeist with like police officers killing black folks and like seeing that on video, you know, time and time again. And like it's so multi-layered. And I watched this clip of the young man on the Mr. Jean on the stand as he was speaking to Amber. And I couldn't help but think like, this is like Christianity through and through, number one.
Yeah.
And then I was talking with some friends about it, and we were talking about how like black and brown folks always immediately have to like jump to consoling white people, even when they're the ones in the wrong. And it immediately made me think about the video that we saw probably about a month and a half ago of the white anchor woman on the news who had called her black co-host a gorilla. The gorilla looked like him.
Yes.
And I remember thinking, this video is 2 minutes and 41 seconds long. And only 40 seconds of it is her apologizing. And it's 2 minutes of him then consoling her and saying why it's okay and da da da. And like, it was another moment of like, you know, the white person did something wrong, but the black person has to spend so much more time talking and making them okay and da da da. And like, there's like this long history in this country of like black and brown folks having to always make it okay for the white person and make them feel okay about what they did. And it's like, no, you killed his brother. But at the same time, you know, it's a Christian thing. Like, the whole Christian faith is about forgiveness.
So when we get back, we're actually going to play the clip, and then we're going to continue this conversation, because I would love to know, share your POV on this, and also kind of dive into that. And sure. there was an op-ed coming out of the Washington Post that basically read like this: Black America should stop forgiving white racists. Mm. And I would love to know your guys' reaction to that. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
I personally want the best for you. And I wasn't gonna ever say this in front of my family or anyone, but I don't even want you to go to jail. I want the best for you, because I know that's exactly what both of them would want you to do. And the best would be give your life to Christ. I'm not gonna say anything else. I think giving your life to Christ would be the best thing that both of them would want you to do. Again, I love you as a person, and I don't wish anything bad on you. I don't know if this is possible, but can I give her a hug, please?
So that was the viral clip, and we are back. That was the viral clip where basically this whole entire thing that we've been seeing coming out of Dallas, where police officer Amber Geiger was sentenced to 10 years in prison on Wednesday by a Texas jury that found her guilty of murder for walking into a neighbor's apartment, thinking it was her own, and shooting him as he was eating ice cream. Now that
sitting in his underwear on the couch watching
TV. Literally.
Yeah.
And so
heartbreaking. Like the
clip that we just heard was his brother on the stand speaking directly to her and saying he forgives her, and all these a lot of conversations that have really kind of triggered a lot of people. And joining us coming back is Jarrett Hill from Jarrett and Allie Drop the Subject from Channel Q. We love kind of having a cross
weekdays
moment.
At 10. Never mind.
Don't do it. You already know how I feel.
Go on the website.
But before we went off for the break, I you know, there's this basically I saw an op-ed that came out of the Washington Post that I wanted to know your guys' immediate reactions. It was Black America should stop forgiving white racists. Mm. And I would love to know, when you first hear that headline, what do you guys automatically think?
Jarrett, you should go first.
Yeah, I was like, like, Shira, I really want to center your perspective on this. Let's really get into that.
Oh my god, that's hilarious.
No, I'm challenged by it. I always joke I was, you know, raised on Oprah and Jesus. And so being an Oprah kid, like, yeah, you and raised on Jesus, you are raised about forgiveness and, you know, being able to kind of move past those things and not hold on to them. I challenged by, like, just the first couple of words, Black people should stop forgiving. Period. Mm-hmm. I feel like forgiveness is not something that you do for another person. It's something you do for yourself. And it's a way that you free yourself as opposed to letting that go for someone else. And so I can't say that, like, just that idea, I can't jive with that. However, I haven't read the op-ed, so I can't really speak to what he's saying in this, what they're saying in this piece.
Right.
But the idea of, you know, being an apologist, or, you know, like, being able to, like, embrace white racists to make them feel okay after they've done something wrong. Like, I'm not okay with that.
Yeah.
I don't feel that way. But at the same time, I'm also a person who would much rather, like, forgive and move on and, like, not carry something forever as opposed to, you know, allowing it to, like, co-opt me.
And so that was the thing about people of color kind of feeling like you have to kind of jump into there. But there was a part of the op-ed, and this kind of goes into Shira's POV, where they specifically said this. They said, no one expects Jewish people to forgive the Nazis or contemporary anti-Semitic acts.
Absolutely.
But Black people are held to an impossible higher standard. This rush to forgive before grieving, healing, processing, or even waiting for the legal or judicial systems to process these crimes. Black pain is only heard after forgiveness is afforded to these white perpetrators.
Wow. And Jewish people have Jewish people have a proximity to whiteness that Black people do not, right?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So
I do know one of the top TED Talks with a Holocaust survivor was about his forgiveness, right, and letting go. And so there are a lot of Jews, and specifically ones that did survive the Holocaust, which there are very few of those now because they've all passed, many have passed. that do talk about in order to move on with their life, they needed to forgive. Yeah. Doesn't mean you forget.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
You never forget. But forgiveness meaning saying, I went through it. I can't hold that burden anymore, yeah, because that's where the freedom lies, on the other side of forgiveness.
I have this conversation with one specific friend of mine very frequently, because he's not a person that's good at forgiving. That's not where he is. And I always say, like, I can forgive someone for what they did to me, but that doesn't mean that you immediately get the access that you had before.
Right.
It doesn't mean that everything is okay.
There's a trust system that has to be regained.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If I have an interest in allowing you back in that space.
Yes, and there's that is always okay. Yeah, that is a valid point of view, because I do think, and one question that I want to put out to you guys, do you feel like it was too soon for him to say that he forgave her in that moment? Because there isn't, I don't think that, to be quite honest, I don't think that was the appropriate place for someone to go through that. Like, he needs to go through therapy. And I think oftentimes when it
part
comes
of
to
that might have been his healing.
But when it comes to religion, especially when black Americans, they think, oh, you just pray about it and you go to church and you have that moment. But there's other access to,
well,
to
I think,
that.
I think the thing that also kind of gets forgotten in this is that, like, this verdict happened, you know, yesterday. I mean, the verdict happened this week and the sentencing happened yesterday. But, like, this happened a year ago.
It's been, right, they've been going so through
this,
a lot, yeah.
Right. He lost his
but
brother a year ago.
But they're reliving it. Oh. All through this entire
sure,
thing.
Sure, but like, he spent the last year with his brother gone and having to deal with the loss of his brother and dealing with, you know, all the dynamics of changing your family
and media around it.
Exactly. And like, yeah, always being reminded of it. And I can say, like, we're all people that are in media. We know how, like, those narratives continue to go on and on and on. And like, if you're going to carry that forever, that is a huge burden to carry, especially. And I mean, I'm friends with various different people that have lost their family members very publicly. And like, you have to live with that forever. So carrying it forever
is tough.
Yeah, exactly.
For sure.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was going to say, it's interesting because I feel, and I don't know if this is true, I feel like some of the viral clip that has been going around cut out the religious part. Like,
no, that's not really,
because I feel like I heard, unless I just, because we were playing it, like when we replayed it, I was like, wow, I didn't realize he said, and give your life to Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
like, that was something that stood out, because I don't remember hearing that when the first time, for some reason, when we played the clip here in the studio.
The entire thing, it felt like the entire situation, the court setting, was a very religious setting, because the judge even got involved. And actually, we're going to, you know, wrap up with Jared. Thank you so much for being here. Yeah. Check out Jared and Allie on Drop the Subject every day, you know, when.
Weekdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern.
Okay,
cute. But we're going to continue this conversation, and we're actually going to play the clips for our question of the day, because we're asking you guys, do some people even deserve forgiveness? And we're going to play the clips of of his mother, because his mother, you know, did a presser, and she actually had something really powerful to say as well. And so,
what a family. Like, there's a lot to learn. It is bringing up a lot of questions and thoughts, but it's crazy and beautiful, and all these feelings at the same time.
Well, yeah, don't go anywhere. Our question of the day in a trending top of the hour headlines coming right up.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Okay, we are again reminding you that we only have 3 days left until you can win a ticket and trip exclusively coming to see us here in Los Angeles, right?
Yeah. I have a headache. Continue.
Oh no, feel better. All right, so we're gonna I'll wish the best to Ryan over here and hydrate.
I'm making it. I'm dying.
So in support of National Coming Out Day and the 1 year anniversary of Channel Q, we've been talking about this like the past. Flying you and a friend out to the home of Channel Q, of course, Los Angeles, California, for a weekend getaway. We're going to take you out in WeHo for happy hour at the world-famous Abbey. That place is awesome. Putting you up in an amazing hotel. We're taking care of all of it. Plus, 2 tickets to LA's biggest event of the year, the We Can Survive concert at the Hollywood Bowl. Taylor Swift's going to be there. Lizzo, the Jonas Brothers, Camila Cabello. We're going to be there. It's going to be the place to be that night and that whole weekend in Los Angeles. Celebrate Channel Q's coming out, a National Coming Out Day in LA. Go to wearechannelq.com to enter to win and for more details. Only 3 days left, so go do it. Wearechannelq.com. Now let's get into what's trending in the news right now, top of the hour. So Savage Love podcast Dan Savage is doing a lot for a lot of nonprofit organizations through his merch line called ITMFA. And he launched it when Donald Trump was first elected. And it might seem like a bunch of random letters, but it actually stands for something. ITMFA stands for Impeach the Mother Effer Already. Since it launched in 2016, the merch line has raised over $250,000, and he splits it between Planned Parenthood, American Civil Liberties Union, and the International Refugee Assistance Project, who have all been badly affected by the Trump administration. And they've also done some other side projects, like selling a limited edition pink beanie that raised $13,000 for Planned Parenthood. And they did a special fundraiser also for the Hispanic Federation to raise almost $5,000 for those affected by Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico. Well, now they're selling buttons. They are selling these buttons to help also those organizations. Prices on everything from shirts to buttons to hats, beanies, mugs range from $8 to $55. So go to his site to check it out to support what he's doing. The site is called Impeach the I can't even say it on air. Impeach the Mother Effer Already.com, but he actually includes that effer word. And it's really it's a fun idea. So we wanted to bring that up today. Now let's move on to this interview from Cosmopolitan. Pansexual French singer Heloise Letizier, better known as Chris of Christine and the Queens, says she's tired of queer aesthetics being used by cis straight people to sell things. Specifically, she addresses your favorite person,
she's
Ryan.
She's Taylor Swift. Let's do it.
Yeah, Taylor Swift and her latest album and music videos. She says, I'm conflicted. When she was asked about Swift's very gay video for You Need to Calm Down. I guess somewhere, she says, young gay men might watch what Taylor Swift is doing and feel a sense of relief.
White gay men, but okay. Anyway.
Yes.
And the ones that are like Todrick.
When I changed my name from Christine to Chris on the second album, some people said, that's a cool marketing thing you did. It was so painful. God, imagine that. And she's been singing her song It for years, a song which she says is about wanting to have a D, you know, in order to have an easy life. It's never been marketing for me. It's about jumping into the unknown and saying things loudly.
Why are you just gonna say penis?
Oh, yeah, I guess I could say that. I always forget about the words that I can and can't say. Anyway, seems like both our stories today. I can't even, I'm censoring myself. And even Taylor Swift has talked about being an ally and what that means. She says, I didn't realize until recently that I could advocate for a community that I'm not part of. And she added that a conversation with her friend, collaborator Todrick Hall, who you mentioned, made her realize she needed to actually be explicit about supporting the LGBTQ plus community.
Which, so kudos to him for doing that. Yeah, that's how it really
I wonder
goes.
If they have the same conversations as we do, Ryan.
Don't relate me to Todrick Hall and don't relate yourself to Taylor Swift.
I would take Taylor Swift.
I bet you would. How problematic is that? Anyway.
No, I was saying money and like her career.
Yeah, but of course you can't.
Oh my
leave.
God,
you can't,
it wasn't supposed to be problematic.
You can't just pick one and you can't just pick and choose what you want to take from either you're that person or you're not that person.
Fine. I don't know. Being Taylor Swift in life versus what's, all right.
Yeah.
Something to think about.
The white woman is jumping out.
Oh, shut up. Something to bring to my therapist.
Girl, what therapist? Where is he at?
Yeah. Maybe if I have Taylor Swift money, I could afford a therapist. Thanks for the reminder, Ryan. Trigger alert.
Maybe. You never know.
What do you think about these points of view, though?
I do think, I love Chris from Christine and the Queens. I think they are a phenomenal band. And, I do think this is a very true thing. I think the idea of queer baiting is a very real thing. And I think people have called Taylor Swift out for this, especially now because she spent 2016 creating an entire album that was based on herself instead of what was actually needed. And to really show up with the power that she has and the platform that she has, it probably would have, you know, changed a little bit, besides not really what the Russians were doing because we were in a cyber civil war. Yeah. But it probably would have played a huge part in who was voting for who if she would have stood up and not actually made it into a selfish thing about herself and actually used it for this moment. So I don't really care about her feeling the need that she needs to because now she has a black friend and she feels like, oh my God, I need to be involved in these things.
Well, it's not a black friend. He's a queer gay person.
It's someone that is different than her.
Yeah.
And now she feels
but
like
at
she
what
needs
point
to
do we say that she can then move into that space and like
it just I think yeah. She needs to also have those hard conversations. She all the conversations that she's been saying is like, oh my God, I just felt like I felt so bad for not saying anything. And well, why didn't you say something? You spent time to make people feel like you were a snake and I was this bad girl, my reputation was at stake, instead of making it about what the world was going
maybe she
through.
Wasn't ready to be real.
That's not that you can't pick and choose when you want to be
well,
real
no
you're
that's
real
what a process
real.
And a journey is
not really.
All right. Maybe we should make this into to another topic of the day. All right. Well, that's somewhat trending in the news, top of the hour.
I see why people relate to her.
Well, yeah, people aren't always in
We're
a
out of
thing.
Time.
Oh, my God. You have a headache. I have low blood sugar, and I'm hungry. So I can't argue this right now with you, Ryan.
It's not arguing. It's debating. It's a very healthy
Whatever.
Debating.
Going back and forth. This back and forth right now isn't working.
Have you
me.
Been on our show before, Shira? Are
Let's
you new
move
here?
On to our question of the day, which is actually, this is very serious, and I know a lot of people have different thoughts on this.
Yeah, we're switching gears.
Yes. The Dallas policewoman who got 10 years for murder was forgiven by the victim's brother. We talked about it earlier in the show. Now, of course, we know that clip is going viral, but it had us wondering, do some people deserve forgiveness? And how do you forgive something like this? We want to hear from you. Give us a call, 833-77-CALL-Q. That's 833-772-2557.
Call Channel Q right now. 833-77-CALL-Q. That's 833-772-2557. We are the new Channel Q.
We've been talking on this show a lot about this, what people are calling a stunning moment where Botham Jean's brother embraces the former Dallas police officer Amber Geiger after she has been sentenced for his brother's murder, 10 years in prison, and, you know, the moment of them hugging, but also him saying that he forgives her.
I personally want the best for you, and I wasn't gonna ever say this in front of my family or anyone, but I don't even want you to go to jail. I want the best for you because I know that's exactly what both of them would want you to do. And the best would be give your life to Christ. I'm not gonna say anything else.
Okay, that has a lot of people talking and just bringing up the whole idea of forgiveness. And could you forgive someone, even someone who murdered a family member of yours?
I think it's very rough. I think it's one of those things where that topic about forgiveness, of course, I think one thing that I wanted to say the last, like a couple of breaks ago that we talked, is, you know, to hate someone takes a lot more energy than to forgive someone. And I've had to kind of go through my own journey with forgiveness and knowing that it's for me and it's not for that person. But I do think that this idea that people of color have to kind of continue to forgive kind of white racists or just people that do wrong in general when it comes to kind of race relations and things like that can be very problematic. And then also kind of adding that sense of religion in, especially me as a child, I grew up in that environment where you literally anything could happen to you and you would have to forgive that person. And I think sometimes there's more to that. Forgiveness takes time, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think it's a lot to process. I don't know. I've never lost someone close to me like that. And for him to do that, it does speak volume to who he is. But I do also think there's more to just being like, oh, I forgive you. And then you automatically, magically forgive that person.
Oh, yeah. I think there's a process of healing. And just because you forgive someone doesn't mean there might be times where you're triggered or you go back or you feel hurt and you feel resentment or bitter or the extreme anger you would feel in this circumstance. But yeah, it got us wondering, and we want to hear from you. Do some people deserve forgiveness? And what would you have done in this situation? 833-77-CALL-Q is our number, 833-772-2557. And this instance was so layered because, yeah,
for
you
sure.
brought up the race, religion into it. I don't think you can just look at it from a surface level at all, or just say in general, could you forgive someone, or is forgiveness possible in all types of circumstances?
Well, I think I and before we go, I do think that we should play the clip of his mom, who basically used her moment to speak out against everything in the verdict that happened to also bring light to the corruption that happened with this case. Here's what she had to say.
Yesterday, we saw the conviction of Amber Geiger. And today, we heard the sentence of 10 years in prison. That 10 years in prison is 10 years for her reflection and for her to change her life. But there is much more to be done by the city of Dallas.
Yes.
The corruption that we saw during this process must stop.
Amen.
And it must stop for you.
Amen.
Because after now, I leave Dallas. But you live in Dallas.
Yes.
And it must stop for everyone.
Yes.
All right. That was the mother of Botham Jean. Yeah, yeah, Botham Jean. And, you know, it comes after his brother did like create this really incredible viral moment, hugging and forgiving. But she was like reminding, just because that happened shouldn't overshadow what actually went down.
Yeah, and she wanted to make sure that, that moment wasn't misconstrued as a complete forgiveness. Like a lot of people are taking this as, and we have tons of social media responses that we're going to be getting to. And then, of course, we're opening up the phone lines. Give us a call, 833-77-CALL-Q, 833-772-2557.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Do some people deserve forgiveness? It's our question of the day as we reflect on this video and moment going viral of Botham Jean's brother hugging and forgiving the person who murdered his brother. And it's a pretty powerful moment. But once again, is it possible to forgive someone in that instance? And we want to hear from you. 833-77-CULL-Q is our number, 833-772-2557. And we're also going to be going to your social media responses in a moment. But it was really interesting, and you brought up the Wall Street Journal article, Ryan, earlier. And this writer, Elizabeth Bernstein, wrote, "At first, it may help the person who has been hurt to let go of anger, resentment, and desire for revenge, but forgiving also may encourage the transgressor to do it again."
Yeah.
Experts say reaching true forgiveness is a journey that may take years, and it is best not to forgive too soon.
Which was my point about that moment that we all are seeing. And Jared made a great point about him. It's been a year since his brother has died, and his family has lost a sibling, a child, just someone that is a part of them. And maybe that year was enough time, but often in cases, that's not enough time. And I don't think in that moment in a courtroom is the appropriate time to ever have a conversation like that. And I feel like that should have been wrangled in. That woman, in my opinion, should not be going into the place where she's going to be spending the next 10 years feeling like, oh my God, I'm okay. The family's forgiven me. I can just move on with my life like it's no big deal.
I think this is very complicated. I don't think she's going to feel that just because of that moment.
But
there was probably some sort of solace there.
But it just encourages. I just feel like it's a bad way of it. It's a very tricky way of making sure that does not encourage the same behavior.
You know, while our show is about opinions, and so that's why we love it, I also think it's not really upon us to say how people can heal and go through trauma. I think everyone deals with it differently. And once again, just because you've say it once does not mean you've totally let it go. However, we can't speak for that person. And it is a process and like real healing. And this was also communicating this article, which I just want to bring up. It's a really great way of saying it. A sentiment not often communicated is that you can be happy and you can carry on with life without forgiving those who have hurt you. In fact, that heartbreak and anger can be used as a catalyst to drive you to do more good. That's one side.
I totally agree.
At the same time, I do think moments like this that do become very much trauma become so embedded in who you are and your DNA.
Not necessarily. I think that's one way of thinking of it.
I think it's actually been. I think, well, I'm not a psychologist.
I was about to say, you're not a doctor, so...
But I do believe, this is very much me saying an umbrella statement, any sort of things, whether you don't think about it, are subconsciously embedded in who you are. Moments, those are turning points in your life. To say that it's not a part of your, like, who you are is, I think, a bit ridiculous to say. However, I do think true healing happens over time. It is a journey, but there are steps to it. And so like that could have been one step in what is going to be a lifelong journey for this person and their family. And as we mentioned before, in terms of like the Holocaust, a lot of survivors have talked about like the only way they were able to find that freedom is joy is to forgive. But the big thing they say is never forget, right? Never forget, because you want to make sure something like that doesn't happen again. And we need to separate those two things in this instance. Can we go to some social media responses? Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. Wait one second. I'm sorry. I'm pulling it up now. My phone just froze. So Marcia says, forgiveness is for oneself. It's the beginning of healing. Hate will eat you up and inside. Therefore, it isn't about who deserves it, but about an individual choosing to live without hate. Whether someone deserves it is beyond beside the point, a personal decision which shouldn't be questioned. Thomas said, does she deserve it? I don't think so. But the forgiveness isn't mine to give. It says a lot about his character, but the state needs to stop letting people get away with murdering black men. 10 years is not enough, but at least it's a conviction. Sad all around.
Well, yeah, a lot of people compared like the Central Park Five and then what's happening. Like they keep on bringing that up, and then what happened here in terms of a white woman being.
And I think that goes into it. You know, this idea of just being like kind of going with what you were saying earlier, I think is a very kind of, you know, I don't know if it has a lot of nuance in it, because this is also rooted in a lot of systematic issues that have been plaguing this country and a lot of things that have happened. This lady is a white woman that, you know, almost before she was sentenced to in this jury trial, before she was sentenced to 10 years, they almost tried to kind of do another way of her kind of getting off of it, where they were saying, well, you know, it was like a law or something that happened where they were basically saying that something that she did, it wouldn't have counted as it. And they were trying to.
It was like self-defense.
Yeah, it was like a self-defense type of situation. And that is not okay. And we don't see that on the other end when it comes to people of color. We only see that in cases like this. And oftentimes, that's the reason why it's hard for people to forgive situations like this, because they do know there is a systematic issue.
Yeah,
there.
When you're talking about systemic and also something that's such a long-term layered issue, I do think forgiveness is not simple at all.
No, but
everything
has to do with that. I think we can't just have this conversation and not include that. Going back to social media, someone said, this is so scary how easily white cops are forgiven for taking innocent lives. Meanwhile, we don't even have to commit a crime to have the book thrown at us, and they are a person of color. Joe says he didn't forgive her for her. He forgave her for himself. To live with hate would consume him more and more as each year of his life goes on. He lives his life and honors his brother by forgiveness and not hate. He's a huge role model.
Yeah, I think forgiveness in this instance, he could have done it privately on his own, told himself that, you know, whatever, obviously God would have known that, he would have known that, and that could have been it. But I think saying it out loud in front of people creates the power that it created, which makes it feel like a more defining moment that he gets to be accountable to and responsible for as well for himself. We'll be back right after this.
Let's go there with Shira and Ryan, the new Channel Q.
Okay, it's time for our Yaz Queen of the Day.
Yaz Queen.
That was like a very, like, hey. You've been saying I do WWE voice a lot, so, all right. This is a great story coming out of Florida. Siesta Key Oyster Bar in Sarasota, Florida, has basically done this thing where patrons write messages on dollar bills and secure them to ceilings and walls, right? So they've been doing that for years. Well, now they're donating that money and even more to help with Hurricane Dorian relief. They said, after we saw the videos and everything that came out of the Bahamas, it was unreal. What better reason to pay it forward? They've been open for 16 years, so all those dollar bills hanging has been a big part of the aesthetic of the bar restaurant. And so it's meant for memorabilia, they added. We found one, somebody expecting, and wrote baby coming soon on the bill. We started it and just took off. So that's how it all started. Well, then finally, for 1 month, 40 of their employees carefully removed the money off the walls where it was secured with this like heavy duty staple gun. And once word got out, customers began giving $5 and $20 bills. So this week, they brought in a large container of cash to a local bank and they raised over $13,000, almost $14,000. The money.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
wow.
It's so cute. The money will be given to the American Red Cross for those affected by Hurricane Dorian, a Category 5 storm that killed at least 50 people and left about 76,000 homeless.
Wow.
Yeah, so every bit counts. Listen, and I think that.
By the way,
yeah,
I hate oysters. I just realized.
Oh my God,
that.
I love oysters, and it's making
me
hungry.
No, they're so slimy.
They're amazing.
No,
stomp it.
So gross.
Well, that was our Yaz Queen of the Day, and you can nominate someone for our Yaz Queen of the Day anytime. Just hit us up on social media at We Are Channel Q. Also, again, our personal socials are I'm at at Shira Lazar.
And I'm at The Slay God, G-A-W-D. And before we go, of course, I want to let you know that, guys, you have three more days to enter into our big We Can Survive concert and Channel Q coming out National Day. All these things, we're running this amazing contest to celebrate our one-year anniversary and National Coming Out Day. And we're flying you and a friend out to the home of Channel Q right here in L.A. We're going to take you out in West Hollywood to party a little bit at the world-famous Abbey. We're going to put you up in an amazing hotel. We're going to give you two tickets to L.A.'s biggest event, the We Can Survive sold out concert at the Hollywood Bowl. Come celebrate Channel Q's coming out and National Coming Out Day in LA. Go to We Are Channel Q to enter to win. You have 3 days left to enter. WeAreChannelQ.com to enter to win.
We are hooking you up. And that does it up for today's show. We made it through. We did it. You can listen to our entire show and all the other shows from this week.
Today was a very deep and necessary show. I feel like I'm happy that we had these conversations. Yeah. Let us know, like you said, let us know what you think about them, because we love to hear what you guys have to say and your responses and hitting us up.
And I was going to say, if you missed any of the show today or any of our other shows, again, they're available as a podcast on our site, wearechannelq.com, and wherever podcasts are available. Now, coming up on tomorrow's show, Beyonce's father, Matthew Knowles, actually announced that he has breast cancer.
Yeah.
So we're going to be talking about how men deal with this disease too, and what you all need to know, all the men out there.
And it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, so I feel like this is a beautiful angle, you know?
Definitely. And then also, should professors date their students? And is it problematic? We'll be sharing our own stories. Ooh. That's on tomorrow's show. Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on Channel Q. We are sending you love and light.
And honey, remember to slay.
Have a great night, and stay tuned for Loveline with Dr. Chris right after this.
Bye, beautiful people.